I'm excited to be up here and sharing something that I've been thinking about for a long period of time, very gracious and glad to have the opportunity to share with you today. Before I found this special place, as Stephen Mead so lovingly calls the first UU, one of my favorite ways to spend my Sunday morning was to listen to NPR, which of course I know is shocking to all of you in the audience. But specifically, I love to listen to the Krista Tippett Show that is now called On Being. It's actually on the air right now. So, the show is dedicated to understanding the essence of what it means to be human, integrating the spiritual, the physical, the metaphysical, and beyond. And when I drive in during the fall and winter and spring months for the 11 a.m. service, I catch her show, and it's a wonderful meditation as I prepare for an hour or so with my favorite people, listening to my favorite preacher talk about things that resonate with my heart and soul. One particular show this past spring had an interview with Sylvia Boorstein, who is a Jewish Buddhist teacher and psychotherapist. And the program discussed kindness and the importance of offering metta to others. We sing about metta here on occasion. The meditation goes something like this, and there are all sorts of variations on this theme. And we start with, may I be happy, may I be healthy, and may I navigate the waves of my life. And then we offer this meditation to those we feel who need it, and then we offer it to the universe. But we start with kindness to ourselves, kindness to others, and then kindness to the universe. This notion of metta is a common Buddhist lesson, but there was one particular part of her talk that had a tremendous impact on me. And let me read the transcript from that show as it inspired me and it frames our discussion for today. And to place this dialogue in context, Dr. Boorstein is discussing how to teach our children metta or loving kindness. And she starts thus, I think our children learn to speak in a tone that we speak in or to hold people kindly if we do. I had in my mind, I wanted to tell this. I've never said it in a public audience, but I just thought about it recently. I decided that, I'll find out soon if it's a good analogy, but I was thinking about the GPS in my car. It never gets annoyed at me. If I make a mistake, it says, recalculating. And then it tells me to make the soonest left turn and go back. And I thought to myself, you know, I should write a book and call it recalculating because I think that's what we're doing all the time. She goes, this something happens, it challenges us. And the challenge is, okay, so do you want to get mad now? You could go get mad, you could go home, you could make some phone calls, you could tell a few people you can't believe what this person said or that person said. Indignation is tremendously seductive, you know, and to share with people on the telephone and all that. So to not to do it and to say, wait a minute, apropos of what you said before, it's a wise effort to say to yourself, wait a minute, this is not the right road. Literally, this is not the right road. I could become indignant, I could flame up this flame of negativity, or I could say, recalculating, and I'll just go back there. So Krista Tippett responds, so this is an example of technology instilling us with spiritual discipline. To which she responds, and no matter how many times I don't make that turn, it will continue to say, recalculating, and that tone of voice will stay the same. So aside from laughing hysterically listening to this, I really loved the analogy. And so much so that in that moment, I decided that the next time Eric asked me to do a sermon, I was gonna do it. So you guys get lucky. The nice thing too is that as I discussed this idea with a lot of different friends and family, and particularly recently, the idea gelled and expanded and morphed. And I don't wanna take away Sylvia's thunder because it's a fabulous idea for a book, and I may even actually send her my sermon to hopefully inspire her. But she should write it, absolutely. But I'm gonna take her inspiration, I'm gonna run with it, and give us a map, if you will, pardon the pun, with which to travel in the coming days and weeks and month. So after a lot of thought and discussion and meditation on this, I have 4 points that I want to bring up that's associated with this analogy. Number one is the GPS as the path to maintaining loving kindness, very similar to Sylvia's vision. Number two, the GPS to help us navigate the river of life. Number three, when the GPS is wrong. And number four, turn off the GPS. Two of these options have a very positive connotation, and the other two encourage us to take pause and use common sense and our own intuition to guide us. But let me start first with Sylvia's vision. Number one, the GPS is the path to maintaining loving kindness. My favorite philosopher is Winnie the Pooh. And in his book, Pooh's Little Instruction Book, I found a quote that summarizes Sylvia's vision for loving kindness. Just because an animal is large, it doesn't mean he doesn't want kindness. However big Tigger seems to be, remember that he wants as much kindness as Roo. There are times when it is incredibly easy to be angry and hurt and frustrated by another's actions. So much so that we want to lash out physically or verbally, or at the bare minimum, go home and complain about it to our loved ones. And I know I'm guilty of this every day when I get my New York on. So even Pema Chodron mentioned this in today's reading, the concept of outer level obstacles that frustrate us and hurt us and leave pain and suffering in their wake. But even animals who are mindlessly going about their day, stepping on our toes and cutting us in line, need kindness. And if you believe in the notion that we are all connected energetically, doesn't it make sense that instead of sending out your negative energy filled with anger and hurt to the universe, we should send out positive energy, metta, or loving kindness? And as we feel our frustration level increase and we contemplate revenge of sorts, take a deep breath and smile and let the frustration pass through you. You never know what that other person is going through, and maybe that extra minute they are saving, which is of little consequence to you, will be the difference between life and death for that person. Your positive energy may pass to them, and it may change the rest of their day to be more pleasant, or just a little easier. Just as we say forgiveness is a gift we give ourselves, the same can be said for loving kindness. It is a gift we give ourselves to offer kindness to another. And if all else fails, remember there's karma. But that's not for us to judge. Karma takes care of that for us. Recalculating. I don't want to be angry today. May he be happy. May he be healthy. And may he be able to ride the waves of his life. Number two, the GPS to help us navigate the river of life. Let me return to Pooh again. Sometimes if you stand on the bottom rail of a bridge and lean over to watch the river slipping slowly away beneath you, you will suddenly know everything there is to be known. Let me add to that, you'll suddenly know everything that there is to be known in that moment. Our GPS helps us find our path on the way on the river of life. The GPS can represent our core values, our guiding principles, our conscience, our goals, and the path we set for ourselves with the best of intentions. It is so easy with the millions and millions of pieces of information being thrown at us that we might very well lose track of our path and find ourselves wandering inappropriately, perhaps unable to commit or complete the journey we began. We may find ourselves distracted and wondering, how did I get here? Clearly I got lost somewhere along the way. And remember what Jack Kornfield said, if we get attached to something staying the way it is, it doesn't stop changing. Trying to hold on to how it was will only create suffering and disappointment because life is a river and everything changes. We may find in that journey of changes that we may resist the change. We may try to stop that river from flowing, and we know how badly that can end. But also we may find that we get lost in the changes and drown in the water and the information coming at us, and we may lose touch with those core values that drove us to the journey on the river in the first place. Sometimes it is okay to wander, and we'll discuss that with point number four, but there are times when staying on that river and floating along with it is important. Our GPS gently and calmly reminds us when we have strayed from our life's path. And to continue with my favorite philosopher, sometimes a boat is a boat, and sometimes it's more of an accident. It depends on whether you're on top of it or underneath it. You know Pooh. Our GPS helps us stay in the boat, so we stay on top of the journey, not underneath the boat, an accident waiting to happen. Those values can help us navigate when we are amidst the chaos of life. And don't worry, you'll get there. It's a journey. Enjoy the journey and let the GPS guide you on the river. Recalculating. Rivers know this. There is no hurry. We shall get there someday, and the GPS will help us get there in due time. Point number three, when the GPS is wrong. One of the downfalls of a GPS is that when it recalculates, at times it takes us on the shortest, quickest, easiest path. It seems to think that it knows what we want and continues to insist that we move that way. This can be convenient in certain contexts, as we discussed in point number two, but not always. What if the easy path takes us on a journey away from a struggle in which we must engage in order to grow as human beings? As humans, we seek simplicity and ease and a smooth path because conflict and the challenges of day-to-day life are disconcerting and unpalatable. We live by the mantra, keep it simple, stupid, but sometimes the simple path is the wrong path because we lose the opportunity to learn and grow in our struggles. Our reading today from Pema Chodron informs us that running away from our issues and internal obstacles or finding the easy way today doesn't mean the problem goes away. Sometimes we have to take that more complicated path and deal with our issues head on now in this moment to grow as we were meant to grow. Life hands us lessons, and it's up to us to embrace these lessons and not simply rely on the GPS to get us where we want to go. It's unlikely we'll get there when and how we want. So taking this the next step, let me offer yet another Pooh-ism. If you are trying to find your way home and keep finding yourself instead back at the same sand pit, it may be that the sand pit is following you about. Sometimes that darn GPS is wrong, and sometimes you end up somewhere and don't know why you're there. Jerry Johnson shared a GPS story with me as we were cleaning paintbrushes and rollers on Friday in East St. Louis. And he and Mary had entered in the coordinates for a place, and it's not where they thought they would be, nor is it where they wanted to be, but they blindly trusted the GPS to take them somewhere. They eventually got to where they wanted to go, but it took using their own best judgments and a bit of ingenuity to find covered bridge number 19 in the adjoining restaurant. Now, I might recommend following Pooh's advice. When setting off on an expedition, be sure to bring provisions or at least some things to eat. But in this case, mindfulness is the provision we need on our expedition. If we just blindly follow our paths of least resistance and let the GPS take the lead, we may very well end up someplace we don't want to be, in a pickle that may be more challenging than simply finding the restaurant we want to eat at. Mindfulness gets us out of jams and helps us find creative solutions to the problems we face. And mindfulness enables us to learn from our mistakes and make course corrections as need be. Recalculating, from the philosopher. If you are looking for home and find instead a sand pit, try looking for a sand pit. Then you'd be sure not to find it, which would be a good thing, because you might find something that you weren't looking for, which might be just what you were looking for. I love Winnie the Pooh. The last one, number four, turn off the GPS. In the immortal words of J.R.R. Tolkien, not all who wander are lost. Returning from the fabulous Camp Fest last weekend, I got into an interesting conversation with Brigham Dimmock and my daughter Margaret about technology. One of the joys, yet one of the challenges of being at the top of the mountain at Pere Marquette is that for most of us, our phones, GPSs, and emails were absolutely useless, which was a good thing. Absolutely. Absolutely. Our infernal, one of the tough things was, of course, our infernal search for the pancake turner. And thank you, Ryan Versova, for rescuing us. But I did buy one the other day, and it is in the pool, so we're good. But it was also hard to call or text people who were coming in later, whether it was to inform them of missing and needed supplies or simply to just give them directions. But the great challenge was also a great joy. No phones ringing, no pressing emails, no nagging texts, just time to connect with nature and each other. And so our discussion on the way home was about the concerns of technology and its interference at times with living an authentic life. Even my own daughter, from whom I have to pry her computer regularly, understands that technology and Facebook can be a lousy master, but a useful tool if managed well. Now, this is a personal challenge to me, too. My phone is always attached to my hip. I am learning to just set it aside, and I'm getting better at it every day. I'm not perfect, but I'm better. But that is my own journey. The most restful vacation I went on was last summer. I'm atop of a mountain in Estes Park, Colorado, near the Rockies. No cell phone, no texting, nothing, because the technology didn't work. I have never felt more relaxed and more connected to my environment and those around me. And even though the challenges of day-to-day life may require us to stay connected, I have students with questions, our pastor has congregants who need support, we may have clients who need an answer now, there is enormous value in unplugging and just being. And as Brigham so brilliantly put it in our discussion, sometimes we don't need the GPS when we travel. Sometimes it's nice to just wander and wonder and see where the journey takes us. When we can unplug the digital overlord, we can let our own inner GPS take us on our own unique path so that we can be present to the wonders that life presents us. Recalculating. Don't underestimate the value of doing nothing, of just going along, listening to all the things you can't hear, and not bothering. So what is the lesson in all of this? Should we or should we not use that GPS? The answer, of course, is it depends. The GPS can be a good tool. It can help us when we are lost on our path or when we need a reminder to be kind and gentle, not only with ourselves, but with others. The GPS reminds us of our core values, reminds us of the journey we need to take through life. But the GPS is not our digital overlord. Sometimes the path it wants us to take, while easy and fast, may not be the best. And sometimes we don't need it at all. Sometimes being present to the wonders around us and open to life's opportunities is the better path. The goal is for it to be a tool, not our master. And it should not be used in place of our better judgment when we know the path it wants us to take is a form of escape, not a journey of development and growth. So I challenge you now, the next time you get in your car and your GPS says, recalculating, ask yourself these four questions. Am I being kind to myself and to others? Am I on my journey following my core values? Is the journey I am on the easy way out, the shortcut that short circuits life learning? And lastly, am I present in this moment, one with the world and those around me? And if not, then gently say to yourself, recalculating.